Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning to my friends out there who are listening. This is a service of the virtual church of Little Saigon, still in Utah, for a few more days. It is August the 10th, 2023, Thursday, just after 3:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. I'm going to tell you something I want you to understand. When this service is over, you're going to have a question. And this question might never be answered fully, completely, until the day that you die. Until the day that you stand at the gates of heaven, until the day that you sit there with the Father and the Son, until the day that you are with the angels, you may not have a satisfactory answer to this question. And I think that's okay. It's one of the toughest questions that theologians have confronted. Way tougher than, can the Lord make a stone so big that he cannot move it? To me, that's an easy answer. He did that when he created people. People are stones, so heavy, so stubborn. The Lord can smite you. The Lord can destroy you. But if you don't want to be moved in that deepest sense, well, read the book of Jonah, buddy. And I would guess, brothers and sisters, that you have a similar story. If you came to Christ, if you found the Lord, if you found the Lord later in life, you might have been one of those stubborn stones. So this is not a hard question. But there is going to be a question you're going to be left with, and it is hard. It's a conundrum, and it doesn't have an easy answer. And you might have to wait until you make it to heaven, and hopefully that's decades from now. You might have to wait until you meet God in person to get an answer that's going to make sense. The first reading today is from Hosea 4. Hear the Lord, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea are swept away. But let no one bring a charge, let no one accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of God, I also will ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people, like priests, I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not flourish. Because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, old wine and new wine take away their understanding. My people consult a wooden idol, and a diviner's rod speaks to them. a spirit of prostitution leads them astray, they are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Though you, Israel, commit adultery, do not let Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth Aven. And do not swear, as surely as the Lord lives. The Israelites are stubborn, like a stubborn heifer. How then can the Lord pasture them? Like lambs in a meadow? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love their shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them shame. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from Matthew 10. 40 through 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 24, 17 through 22. You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field, and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord in heaven, you sacrificed your only Son to redeem the world, and through his blood we are made innocent. But what of those who have not heard your word? What of those millions and billions throughout time who did not benefit from seeing your Son, knowing his truth, or experiencing the fire started by his apostles? I pray, dear Lord, for all those who have not been touched by you, that they may know you. It is a mystery. I pray for those friends I made in Utah who are on the road as so many of us are, not fully understanding your grace and your love. We pray for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. We pray for the ignorant and the outcast. We pray for the abandoned and the suffering, wherever they might be. We pray, and we know that your word is powerful and crosses through time. Amen. The next reading is from Luke 23, 32 through 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are not under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from Romans. Romans 2, 12 through 16. "All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The final reading for today's service is from Luke 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I continue, I need to apologize. Today's readings, they took me by surprise. It's a little bit off the main subject, but today was a very, how can I put it? Today was a day of spiritual weakness. As some of my listeners to my podcast may have noted, in recent weeks I've had a cop harassing me. They stopped me for walking down the street and looking weird. They stopped me so that they could ask questions about my neighbor. And then today, the cop was obviously following me. I was walking down the street. I turned a corner. He actually turned around and went through the intersection to follow me. So it was pretty obvious. And then he pulled up the road, up the street, pulled aside, parked his police vehicle, and simply waited to see where I lived. I think about Hosea 4 and the accusations of the Lord. And again, I don't believe that these accusations refer to today. I think that this refers to more or less the time of Israel's persecution. I don't know how much you know about the history of Israel, but soon after, not long after, maybe a few hundred years after, the Lord, through Moses, freed his people, and pretty much during the time in the desert, the grumblers, which are people, which are humans, which were the Jews and the Hebrews, which, you know, is us in a way, the grumblers grumbled and wanted to take gold and build calves, golden calves, and worship Baal and worship Moloch, and worship whatever god they could find, whatever they could carve out of wood, per Hosea's, you know, description. And you think about it. You think about it. I mean, these are people that had a connection to God that most people throughout history have never had. The Lord was so present to them. The Lord was so there. I mean, again, if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you experience it also. But for a lot of people, wandering the wilderness of this life and all lives before it, it might seem as if the Lord is either a fiction or far, far away and does not care. Think about Abraham. We've been talking about him the last couple weeks. Think about Abraham. Before Moses, before so much happened, think about Abraham. Before he had a family, before he had a wife. Think about a man, and it could be a woman, it can be any person, wandering through that world, okay, roughly 4,000 years ago, okay, plus or minus, let's not quibble. Can you imagine wandering through that world where chances are you wouldn't run into anybody? There would be no good Samaritan. There would be no Levite. There'd be no priest. There'd be no nobody. And if you did run into somebody, chances are they were going to kill you and steal what little you have. And yet, in that wilderness, Abraham was able to find peace. Abraham was welcomed by others. Abraham found love and was able to build a family and was able to connect with others. When you think about it, Abraham confronted the problem of innocence in a way that most of us will never understand. So if somebody says to you, Dan, let me ask you a question. If there's a tribe of people in South America that have never heard the word of God, are they condemned? And my question would be, for all those that Abraham met along the way, were they condemned because they didn't have the same connection to God that Abraham had? Are you, am I, are we condemned because we didn't live in the time of Christ and we didn't get to see him as if it's a privilege, as if it would be a privilege to see him die on the cross? Are we condemned because we never experienced that? Are we condemned because we never heard him speak to the crowds? Are we condemned because we never saw the miracle of the fishes and the loaves? Are we condemned? I don't have a simple answer to all the questions you might have about innocence, because for a lot of folks these days, they make very silly assumptions. They say to themselves, well, children are innocent, and that's true. I believe that's true. But the sins of the moms and the dads fall upon the children. So many today have access through the internet to many versions of the Bible. Go to the Bible Gateway and you can find any version you want. This is not the time of Abraham, not the time of Noah or Moses. This is not the time that they lived in. And it isn't even the time of Christ in that sense, because we have so much in terms of the word. And yet so many families, so many moms and dads, so many parents, they dismiss it, they scoff at it, they consider it ignorance, and in that sense, they keep their children in ignorance, and yet the question is asked, are the children condemned? And I don't have a very satisfying answer. When I was an atheist, I used to be the Pharisee. I would go to my Christian friends in my software engineering jobs and say, well, what if a person lives a good life? What if a person's committed to what is righteous? What if a person out of their heart chooses to do what they should do? And the answer I would typically get is, well, you're only saved through faith. And that's a pretty good answer, but it's not the right answer. It really isn't. When I think about those tribes that might exist that have never seen anyone outside their community, and I think about myself in Nashville, Tennessee, back in 2005, there are huge differences. One difference is that I had access to Bibles my whole life. I had access to people of the Word. I had access to good people who were Christians and led by example. They lived the word. It wasn't just that they quoted the Bible, they lived the Bible. I had access to a gold mine of righteousness, and I rejected it all, as so many do today. But I'm going to propose something to you that you might think is crazy, and I want you to think on it though. And it's partially related to a book called On Orthodoxy by G.K. Chesterton. By the way, you know, he probably wouldn't agree with a lot of my perspectives, but this is a book worth reading. Of course, the guy's been dead for like, what, 100 years? In On Orthodoxy, Chesterton talks about, more or less, I'm going to use a term from Heinlein, grokking out God, grokking out a religious belief system, because once you understand that good and evil are fixtures of the world, they're there, and that's something I've known my whole life, brothers and sisters. Even as an atheist, I understood that good and evil were real. I saw them with my own eyes. I witnessed it. I wasn't the atheist who said, well, you know, since there's no God, you go ahead and do whatever you want. I was the atheist who said, you know, I don't believe in God, but I know that we should do what is righteous and not do the stuff we've been doing. Chesterton goes through a thought process. He builds a structure, a kind of cosmology, a kind of religion. And by the end of it, he proposes that just on your own, starting out with good and evil, you end up at God. You end up at the Bible. You end up at the Lord being so kind, so loving, that he sacrificed his only son in the most brutal way that we really can't understand or imagine. He sacrificed his son who was disgraced. They casted lots for his clothing, his meager clothing. They mocked him on the cross. Even one of those criminals was going to be a little bit snarky. You're in the same boat as us, Jesus. Look how special you are, King of the Jews. The Lord gave up his son to be ridiculed and attacked and tortured and murdered. You end up there. You do. When you go through this process of first recognizing good and evil are in the world, then you end up eventually at Golgotha. Eventually, you end up at the skull. Eventually, you end up on the hill, looking upon the Lord, looking upon the Son of God, looking upon the greatest gift ever given, really, and the torment of it. I would say, before we go too far, I would say that Chesterton is more or less right, but I'm going to take you down a slightly different road. Imagine the new world. We call it the new world. Oh boy. You know, every time a human finds something, they pretend they found it for the first time. You know, Vikings find Greenland. Oh, we named it. And I'm sure, if you believe what you've been told, I'm sure that when the Native American peoples came to the New World roughly 30 or 40,000 years ago, when they came to this world we call it America, we call it North America, Central America, we call it South America. When they came to this new world, I'm sure they looked upon it too and said, oh, this is new. We're the first ones to arrive. And maybe that's true too. But I want you to imagine, before Columbus discovered America, before the voyages of discovery in the 15th and 16th century, and frankly, the conquest that followed, and the raping and the murdering, and this was pretty much done by armies sanctioned by, at the time, what people called Christianity, sanctioned by the Pope. Go forth, Holy Roman Emperor. Go forth, Holy Roman Empire. Go forth and subdue these people and rip them off and rape them and kill them and burn their books. And the books we don't want you to burn, we're going to hide them in the Vatican so that no one can ever see them. I want you to imagine that world 600 years ago. And then I want you to imagine a Mayan, an Incan, or an Aztec. I want you to imagine those folks, not through the eyes of the Vatican, not through the eyes of the quote-unquote historians. I want you to imagine for a moment that they are people, they were people just like you, just like me. And then I want you to imagine something, that there were people who never were never preached to, who never had the honor to see the Lord ever. And yet, somewhere on their heart, some of these people, we'll never know their names. Maybe there are Mayan historians who will email me and send me a story they found. But believe me, the Vatican, especially when it comes to the Aztecs and the Mayans, and to some extent the Incans, and other groups, including the tribes of North America, the Vatican did everything it could to erase their history. So travel with me for a moment in the world of imagination, something we cannot prove, something we have to have faith about. I want you to imagine a Mayan 1,000 years ago who chose to do the right thing because the Lord touched his heart. I want you to imagine a Cherokee 700 years ago who did the right thing because the Lord touched his heart or her heart. Imagine a widow, imagine an orphan, imagine a stranger who chose to do what was righteous because the Lord whispered in their ear, because the Lord touched them the way that the Lord touched Abraham. And you might say, well, that's crazy, Dan. The Aztecs, they just went around murdering people. Brothers and sisters, it's a truism and maybe even a cliche, but the victors write history. So of course we're going to focus on the fact that, yeah, there were evil people and evil governments who did all kinds of crooked things everywhere on planet Earth for all time. You ever hear the Inquisition? You ever hear the burnings of witches, quote unquote, many of whom were not witches. They were just women who fell out of line. Women who might have suffered from depression. Women who might have been, yeah, midwives, helping to bring a new child, an innocent child into the world. But you know, they're witches, so we're going to burn them. So before you tell me about the Aztecs killing virgins, understand this. There is a place called Rome that is soaked with the blood of over 1,000 years of innocent people being murdered and raped and killed, innocent children being murdered and raped and killed. So don't give me the Aztec crap. Don't do that here, not before the Lord. Imagine a Mayan or an Incan or an Aztec that chose to do the right thing, and they never had a Bible, and they never had a preacher, and they never had a missionary, and if they did later on, that missionary was there to probably torture them, to burn them. And they chose to do what was righteous because in their heart, the word was written on it, and in their life, they lived the word. I have to leave some people behind soon. One of my friends left a week or so ago. Again, a good guy. A guy who drove up to Seattle to essentially save me from a living hell in 2021. I have to say goodbye to another friend, a courageous woman who led an old scraggly man into her home, and she didn't have to, but she did. And I don't know what her faith is, and it's not really my business, to be honest with you, because I've come to peace with that. I have spoken about God before my friends, and it is up to them to find the Lord on their own. But brothers and sisters, I believe the word is written on both my friends' hearts. I believe they are not condemned. I believe they've lived in a world not unlike Abraham's, where you wander through the wilderness, and there are more grifters and liars and cheaters and killers than anything else. Oh boy, the life today is a lot like the time of Abraham, isn't it? A lot like the time of Noah. And yet I will tell you and I will testify before God, my friend, you know, and let's just call him Jay, and my other friend, and let's just call her Beth or B. My friends are not condemned. And then let me talk about a dog named Boomer. This dog, as a puppy, was tortured, was beaten and tortured, starved to death so that he could become a fighting dog, so that he would erase from his heart the love that was always there, so that he would rewrite the words of the devil on it, And yet, he had the faith, whatever faith a dog can have, he had the faith that he would be helped by his friends. And then a year later, he met a scraggly old dude. And in the process of healing his own wounds, this little dog, who I'm sure there are lots of people out there who say, you're a monster, Dan, for proposing this, Dan, whatever. This little dog is not condemned. Braver and more righteous than many of the human beings I've met in the last decade, braver and more righteous than most of the people throughout history, this little dog had every reason to hate every person he ever found. And yet he doesn't. In fact, it's just the opposite. He still seeks out love because he makes the assumption, which some might consider foolish given how he was raised before he met my friends, he still makes the assumption that that human's not going to beat him. That human is not going to starve him. That human's not going to spray him with a hose when it's minus 20 degrees outside. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, this dog Boomer's not condemned. There are children that die every day, and they die without ever hearing the word. And I cannot give you a definitive answer, but my heart tells me they are not condemned. There are people throughout the world today, in nations that are even a bigger mess than the United States right now, and this nation's a bit of a mess. There are people in prison camps in North Korea. There are people in prison camps in China. There are people in prisons in the United States. And they've never heard the word. Or if they heard the word, they heard a false prophet. They heard a lowercase per John 1 and 2, I think John 2. But they heard a lowercase antichrist. They heard a grifter. They heard a trickster. They heard the voice of the devil. They never heard the word of God. And yet they do what is righteous. They are not condemned. I can't give you a perfect answer to this question of what it means to be innocent, because if you accept the word, you also accept there are curses. There are curses that go back to that very moment when the doors of Eden were slammed shut and Adam and Eve were said, hit the road, Jack. And by the way, love's not going to be perfect. And women will bleed and give birth and they'll be painful. And men will struggle and deal with violence, and this is the deal. You had it perfect, now you don't, and you have to live with it. And these are curses that go right back to the beginning. You can call it original sin if you want to, but it's just the reality. It's the reality for a Mayan that lived 1,000 years ago. It's the reality for a Viking that lived roughly 1,000 years ago. It's the reality for a Cherokee that lived before there was ever any honest person to bring the word. Because believe me, when the Native Americans of this nation first faced quote-unquote Christians, they weren't facing disciples of the Lord. They were facing, read Hosea 4 again. They were facing folks who were given the word, who had a connection to God, who had every reason to be righteous, and instead they handed out blankets covered in disease. Instead, they went around murdering people, killing people, calling them savages as they killed them. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? There are people that are given the word by the righteous, by a minister who has a true heart. There are people that are given the word through example, and so many examples, and they reject it. And they prefer the devil, and they prefer evil, and they prefer this realm, which is really just a steaming pile of crap, really. Nothing in this realm, this world we live in, is going to last. And yet they prefer all the steaming piles of poop over the word. I can't judge them. God bless. I can't. It's not my position to. But I'll tell you something. It is more likely that a child that dies is going to heaven, or a dog that dies is going to heaven, than those who were given the word, who might even know the word and rejected it for evil. I'm not going to say they're condemned because it's not my place. But I'll tell you something. If I was going to wager on who makes it to heaven, the child or somebody who was torturing people 500 or 600 years ago in Rome during the Inquisition, I'd say the child's going to heaven. I'd say the Pope needs to pray. God bless, it is not my job to judge. It's not your job either. God bless that he gave his only son to erase our sins if we ask for forgiveness. God bless that if we can forgive. And by the way, brothers and sisters, that's my biggest stumbling block. And in recent months, I've pushed through it. And I've accepted the fact that I can forgive because I understand what it is now. I found my faith before I ever understood forgiveness. And now I think I understand what it is. And that is a blessing for me. And it's a blessing for us when we understand it, because forgiveness is critical to the Lord's word. So I believe throughout history, could be China, could be the Inuits, the Inuit people, the Eskimo people is called. It could be various folks in Australia, okay? Before any quote-unquote white person showed up, the Aborigines. I believe in every society, no matter how crooked, there have been people who on their heart was written the word. And they chose to live the word. And I believe they're saved. Now, I also think, I don't know, I'm not a prophet, so I don't know. I think that we are heading for some very, very difficult times. And it's possible that the times we're heading for, given the signs many people are seeing, it's possible that these are the times that are described by Jesus in Matthew 24, that are described in the book of Revelation, and frankly, throughout the Old and New Testament. I think we could be on the verge of the end times. Now, the good news is, whether you believe in the rapture or not, any person here during the tribulation is going to get another chance. If you're alive, you're going to get another chance. You're not doomed. You can choose to be righteous during the tribulation. The bad news is, what you'll experience will be at least as bad as everything Abraham experienced, everything an Aztec who refused to sacrifice their daughter experienced, everything a midwife experienced while being tortured by a representative of the Vatican about 500 or 600 years ago. You're going to go through some pretty bad stuff. We could all go through it. I believe in the rapture, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be raptured. Like I said, my toughest sin is not drinking beer. My toughest sin is not, you know, thinking about boobies. My toughest sin is forgiveness. The one I struggle with is forgiveness, because I want the Lord to punish the evil. I wanted, if that police officer, you know what I did today? When that cop parked up the street, I went into the house, I set up a barricade, I made sure that my shotgun was right next to me and there was extra ammo, because if that cop was going to just go kill a hobo, I wasn't just going to go quietly. And yet, if I have faith in the Lord, I should have put the shotgun in the closet. I should have unloaded it first. I should have left the doors unlocked. I should have known throughout the entire word that the Lord is my shield, the Lord is our protector, the Lord goes before us always. I should have known that, but I didn't, because instead of listening to what was written on my heart, I was listening to the devil. And these are tricky times, brothers and sisters. Because I will say this too, if the word If the Word, which was here, part of this world, before any Bible was ever edited, if the Word was present for a Mayan or an Incan, then guess what? So was the devil. The devil was everywhere he could be. If he could raise hell, he was raising hell. And if he can still do that today, he does it today. He tricks us, he tempts us in the weirdest ways possible. He knows our sins. He knows that I can go without drinking a beer. He knows that I don't mind working if I can find honest work. And the devil also knows that Dan holds grudges. So to anybody listening to me right now who thinks I hold a grudge against them, I don't. I don't hold a grudge against the Goat King. I don't hold a grudge against the people in Seattle, not longer. I forgive if there are trespasses against me. And that's the if part, the conditional. I forgive it all before all of you. I forgive the most evil people that have ever lived who are currently running our civilization into a ditch. Because even if the end times aren't ahead, brothers and sisters, tough times are ahead, and it wasn't an accident. It wasn't something God did to us. Read Hosea 4, because even though that prophecy, that truth is probably fulfilled according to a different dispensation, I'm not an expert, you could apply every one of those words to today. The Lord gave us the Word. The Lord gave us the truth. And what do? We put it on a dollar bill and pretend that that's the same thing. Just like the people of Hosea's time. We pretend, we play pretend with our high priest. We speak righteous words to the crowd while we do great evil in the darkness. If I were a betting man and I had to wager between some tribe in the Amazon that's never heard the Word, or most people who are part of the first world, whether it's the United States, United Kingdom, Europe, you name it. If I had to wager percentage-wise, which group is more likely to find themselves in heaven? I cannot judge and I cannot prove, but brothers and sisters, I'd rather wager on some random person in a tribe that's never heard the Word than all these people who claim the Word, who claim God, and go around murdering and killing and raping. And then they call the people of the Amazon savages. And they talk about Aztecs killing virgins. Go to Rome. You'll find ghosts there. Go to Rome. You'll find dead there. Go to Rome and you will find evil that goes back thousands of years. And yet there are people who will call it a holy place. Go to the Holy Land. Because it is truly holy. But go to the Holy Land today and ask yourself, how are the people who claim to be chosen by God treating their neighbor? Are they good Samaritans? Do they show love? God bless that it is not my place to judge. God bless that I can let go of my grudges. Because if I couldn't, I would say, Lord, make me a righteous sword in your name, because I don't want to be in a world where the only answer is death and murder and killing. I don't want to be in that world. And the good news is, we don't have to. In every small way, in every tiny way, by saying good morning, by caring about your neighbor, I don't mean Facebook, I don't mean Twitter, I mean the person that lives right down the street. There are ways in which we can live the kingdom life today. There are ways in which we can be righteous. We can live the Word. There are ways we can do this that don't involve advertising how good we are. Making a movie and pretending by making a movie that somehow we're righteous. And yet at the same time, probably telling a lie. Yeah, there are ways, simple ways, we can spread the love of God. And it doesn't involve any money at all. It doesn't involve Hollywood. It doesn't involve Google or YouTube. It simply involves going out your door, putting down your smart device, having the courage to turn it off and leave it at home, and saying hello to somebody you've never said hello to. And you know what? They might not believe what you believe. But there's a chance that the Word is written on their heart. And there's a chance that they live the Word. If Abraham could find in a world that he lived in, if he could find peace, if he could sojourn in peace, if there were people that would invite him into their home and let him exist, then yeah, I'd say today it's still possible too. And in the brief time I've had this podcast, more or less the last decade, being censored and deleted and removed, there are people I've connected with, some of whom, yeah, electronically, and so I ask questions, but some of whom I've met, and of the people I've met, my heart tells me that some of those people are real, and some of those people show love, and some of those people demonstrate that they've read the Word by living the Word. Not all of them. Sorry. But many. And many is more than zero and way more than one. I believe children, babies, they go to heaven. I believe that Jesus reaches out his hand for the child that is being taken and abused and destroyed by evil. I believe that the Lord looks out for those who have not had the privilege of having some missionary give them the word. I believe the Lord is out there in the darkness like a light, just like he was for Abraham. He's there for us. He's there for people in the Amazon. He's there for folks who are living in death camps in North Korea. He is there for people who are in prison in the United States today. And there's a lot of people in prison in this free country. You should think on that, brothers and sisters. He's there. He was there for me today. I felt angry enough as a person who served his country, as a person who wanted so little. How much do you think I want out of this life? I need $500 to pay rent, right? Or whatever the basic rent is for a room in a basement. I need a few $100 for food. I need maybe a few bucks here and there for a beer or a little bit of marijuana. I need peace and music. I don't need a lot. And I said to myself, what little I have is being taken away. And that cop can't stand that I'm walking someplace because I don't own a car. The Lord looked out for me today. He looks out for people in the wilderness. He looks out for people that have a different color skin. He looks out for people that are being raised by monsters. He looks out for them in every dark corner of the world. He's a light, and he's the good light, the light that brings warmth and love. This is the riddle of innocence, and I said, at the beginning, I said, you're not going to be sure that you have a good answer, and I don't have a perfect answer. But brothers and sisters, if you've had the privilege of hearing the word from someone who truly represents God, and you reject it in favor of evil, then I would think on that. I'd think on it deeply. Way before you ever judge a mean dog. Way before you ever judge somebody of a different color of skin who lives in another country. Way before you judge the fact that a lot of places are falling apart and Rome, which is the United States, still has food. I mean, it may not be very good food. It's Norman Borlaug garbage food, but it's still food. He looks out for people that are different. He's not a communist. He doesn't believe in that. He believes in choice. What good is it to be righteous if somebody points a gun at your head? The answer is, it's meaningless. But to be righteous when in fact you know someone might harm you for being righteous, when you know in fact the opposite is the case, that by doing the right thing, you put your life at risk, the Lord looks out for you. And there are people all around the world today who are being persecuted for being Christians. And the Lord is there. Every death camp, every prison, every time someone is attacked for the fact that they have faith, the Lord is there. The Lord is there for a tribe in the Amazon. The Lord is there for an Eskimo. The Lord is there for any Native American in the past, present, or future. It doesn't matter where they were born. But it does matter that we all can be born again. I'd like to take a moment of silence. And I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but this has been a hard service for me because today was one of those days where I came real close. Real close. And it's the path of faith is a tricky thing. But I'd like us to take a moment of silence for wisdom from the Word that is often written on our hearts before we ever even get a Bible. I'd like a moment of silence for the knowledge of the grace of the Holy Spirit that can touch us, that Jesus left us with. A moment of silence for our Father in heaven who sacrificed His only Son to save the world, the whole world, not just Rome and Italy. Not just people of one particular faith of Christianity. He sacrificed His Son to save the whole world. I would like us to take a moment of silence for the widow and the orphan and the stranger. And I'd also like to say this too. I don't think that my friend who left a week or so ago, because he's currently kind of up in the woods. He's working for an outfitter that leads hunting and fishing trips, so I don't think he has access to this. And my other friend, I try to live the example. I don't go around scaring people with a Bible in my hand. Maybe that's the wrong strategy. But a moment of silence for my friend B and my friend J, who saved my life. A moment of silence for a friend of mine in Seattle who saved my life. A moment of silence for a friend of mine in Florida who saved my life. There's too many people to list, friends and family. A moment of silence for a sister in Seattle who helped me on my road to God. A moment of silence for a brother who never gives up on me. A moment of silence for all those who may not have a Bible where they are today, but they still have the Word because they live the Word. A moment of silence for all of them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be His name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, fellow disciples of Christ, these are strange days. And I don't know the future. And the Lord said He's going to come like a thief in the night. So I would be a liar if I told you I know for sure what's happening next. But even if these aren't the end times, some pretty difficult times are ahead. I think mostly what we've been experiencing since 2020 is the penultimate kingdom of lies. I think a lot of truth, hard truth, is coming at us pretty soon. And it could be that the Lord is returning soon. And that is a blessing when you think about it as a Christian. But at the same time, it's kind of scary. So here is my pledge and our pledge. Let us go in peace. Let us set aside our hate and our anger, whether it's the centurion or the tax collector, whether it's towards some prostitute or someone you think is doing evil. Set aside your anger and your hate and spread the Word by living the Word so that no innocent might be condemned. God bless all of you.